It's December 27th, 2016, the last show of the year for this program, Insight Out, The Naked Truth. We've exposed all we could for 2016. Tonight, we're coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where it's cold outside, specifically from Lupin Lodge,
where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we're going to welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. Welcome. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Speaking of surprises, we were so surprised to get a phone call a few months ago from an old, very dear friend, a fellow I met 40 years ago. We were both beginning students of the Rancho Book, Jeremy Bede. And Jeremy, thank you for being our new co-sponsor, our regular sponsor for 3 years now. It's Go Raw. Thank you. A righteous company, nutritious and delicious.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. You go to goraw.com and find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
We are about to celebrate the first day of 2017. But first things first. Since first things first is the featured phrase of the week. Among the many firsts vying for first place on our priority list, which one is the first? For me, it's a no-brainer, at least when I have to go to the bathroom. But under other less urgent circumstances, it's not always as obvious. Now, according to the first of the famous Ten Commandments, no lesser God should be first. But that can be pretty confusing, especially when we have different gods that we make first. The quarterly prophet's god, the power god, the national security god, or the common good.
God.
But as I've been reading lately in A Course in Miracles in my quest to discover how best to respond to the imminent crises, it says, strengthening the motivation to change is the first step. Indeed, as I have discovered, any real change I want to see happen in the world requires that I change first. Tonight's program, we're going to take a look at what is the first of first things first, depending upon who you are and your circumstances, of course. Oh, one more thing. If we've missed our chance for this year, let me be the first to wish you a Happy New Year, 2018. Won't that be a trip to see what's happened by then?
You're moving out of first into many mores.
It is.
I always think of the first as like being in the now. Because this is the first time I've said this first things first. And this is the first time I've said this like this. I mean, every moment is the first. Nothing can be exactly like it. Soon it will be the very first day of the first week of the first year, 2017. And you can't move beyond the first until I get to it.
Well, let me be the first to wish you, Rochelle, a happy first.
Well, thank you. And may I be the first on this side of the table to wish you a happy first. And it's like endings and beginnings. I was looking at a picture of our planet that was taken from outer space. You realize that this doesn't look like first and seconds and thirds out there. Somehow it all moves together in these beautiful orbits. We look at everything, and it doesn't seem to make much difference whether something was first or last or in the middle.
As Yeshua said, the last shall be first. And I think it's because it's a circle.
I think so, too.
So the last is the first part of the next one, which is the last of the one that came just before it. Right?
When I understand it, I'm sure it's right.
Okay. Speaking of first, on an ongoing quest, as I say, how to relate to these impending crises, and especially with the way America has puffed up. Just one thing I heard today, I think from Ralph Nader or some other program about why we're going to war with China. I'm reading some very funny stuff these days. One of the things is China's not really an enemy. We're making an enemy out of China. It doesn't want to be military enemies, but we need to flex our might, he said. It's like it's puffed up. I guess that's why no empire has ever lasted. They all died. But this time, this empire runs the risk of taking the rest with it because of nuclear war. Listening to Noam Chomsky say today, if you've never read or heard him, he's one of the brightest guys around. Go check him out. He said it's a miracle that we didn't have a nuclear holocaust before. He and Ralph Nader are having a conversation that I'm listening to, and they say we're in a worse position now than we've ever been, than in the Cold War, in terms of potential for nuclear conflagration. Because, among other things, they've got a nuclear weapon they can put in the field. So if some major or colonel gets real triggered, he could send that off, and it wouldn't take much to start the destruction of the whole planet. That's one of the crises.
When I get on the highway, I am in crisis because there's all these cars speeding by, and any one of them at any moment could kill me. I'm so aware of that, and at the same time, I'm so aware that being right there in that moment, I become more aware, more focused, more realized that this may be the last moment instead of the first moment of my life. How do you deal with that? The only thing that matters, not what could happen, but how do I deal with anything that will happen?
First things first, to balance out the reading that I was doing and the investigation that I'm doing into the horror of it all, I had a chance to listen to Krishnamurti. He was a wise man, theosophist, and both Rochelle and I got to hear him speak in the 70s when he was in San Francisco. He was the reminder that it's all just now, that everything else is just an illusion. And as I was reading in A Course in Miracles today, with that section about strengthening the motivation to change as the first step, I want to hear what Krishnamurti had to say. I just found out 450 nuclear power plants are on this planet and counting. But I'm also reminded every second, four new human beings come into the planet. Every second. Since I said that, there's been 8, 12, and counting. I'm concerned about them and the situation. One of the things I'd like to run by you is something Ralph Nader listed as the excuses. What's your excuse? He takes the position, all right, there's been enough said about it. You know, I've certainly read and seen enough about the horror of it all. What are we going to do about it? He lists four excuses that are the top four. I'm going to run them by you, and we'll pick the winner of the first shall be first excuse. One of them is, oh, I'll be criticized. I'll get ridiculed. I'll get ousted. I'll lose my job. That's one.
A question?
Yeah.
When you mean excuses for what?
That is so helpful. Excuses for what? For taking action to address these issues. His contention in his book, 17 Solutions, which I've ordered, I'm going to read it, although he went through them in the talk on the web, these are some things that you can do, and it's not as hard as you think. It doesn't take as many. For example, if you could get 2,000 people organized in your voting district, which consists of 700,000 people, he has a good argument how you can make a big noise once you recognize with what you're dealing with. Okay, back to the excuses. Don't have time. Another excuse. Don't know how to maneuver in the system. Boy, I went to the council meeting and I don't know how you... Or, why waste your time? The corporations, the government, they're running everything. They have all the power. just forget it and just jump back in your private life. Which of those excuses would you say is the first things?
The last one.
Interesting. Well, I don't think there is an order, but he started with don't have time.
I think most people feel helpless about doing something. And the reason they feel helpless is because they have created this monolith. It may be real, it may not be real, it doesn't matter. But the thing is that we've given it all our power. We have given it the power to control us. We always do that. That's because we don't want to get involved. It's too stressful, it's too painful, it's too scary. Till we're up against it, and then our thoughts don't get involved with all these considerations, but we just act. Like I was just reading this thing about a lady who just died, who saved a lot of Jewish children in Holland during the Second World War. She said she never would have thought that she would do anything, but what she saw was so horrific, she had to do something. So she began to do something, and she talked about it. She talked about all the things she did, even killed a man who was going to turn in these kids. When I read her story, what I was aware of is that she didn't go, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this way. She just acted because for her, there was nothing else that she could possibly do and remain a human being in her mind. That's the way she put it. This is a human thing that you care about other people. You don't separate yourself from them. I have a lot of faith in our humanity, much more faith than I have in the humongous amount of rhetoric that takes place about how horrible everything is. Because I look around and I see people living their lives and being good to each other and doing good things and bad things and good things. But for the most part, there's more good things being done than bad things. But I'm the Pollyanna on this show.
First things first. The Urantia book says humans tend to see the black background of evil with little tiny dots of white, which is what you're pointing out. And the reality is, it's just the opposite. The universe is this vast, wonderful, open place, and there are these little dots of evil, and we make them important because we have self-importance. But before you get to self-importance, first things first. Telling me that you ain't fly unless you want a private jet. Telling me you ain't worth the time if you ain't made a million yet. Ain't money in the finer things. Find you worth it, I'm following. Addicted to the quantity, want that international love. Don't you know that everything you've ever wanted doesn't have a price tag on it? Earn it first, don't have to flaunt it. What you get is something flawless. Wait a minute. Take a breath, running and you don't know why. Once you learn how to build your own track, it'll take you to the finish line. Save money in the VIP. That don't mean nothing to me. Not saying you should work for free, just don't forget how to love. Don't you know that everything you've ever wanted doesn't have a price tag on it? Earn it first, don't have to flaunt it. What you got is something flawless. Wait a minute, first things first. Take a second. First things first.
Take a second. First things first.
was fun.
That was a group we've played the last 2 weeks in a row, Pentatonix, once again. But I love these lyrics. Telling me that you ain't fly unless you own a private jet. Telling me ain't worth it now if you ain't made a million yet. Fame, money, and the finer things. Found your worth in the following. Addicted to the quantity. Want that international love. And then they go, wait, first things first. Hold on, slow down, take a breath. Run it, and you don't know why. Once you learn how to build your own track, it'll take you to the finish line. Fame, money, VIP, that don't mean nothing. Nothing to me. Not saying you should work for free. Just don't forget how to love. Don't forget how to love. All you need is love and humility. Just take away the animosity. Good reminder. Thank you, Pentatonix.
Thank you, Pentatonix. First things first, that is the first thing. We spent a few hours with our 22-month-old granddaughter, and it's so wonderful to be with a little child to whom everything is a first. The past is so small, and you're not jumping in there trying to figure out how to get to the first by looking at what was. Everything is new, exciting, and delicious, and I became very aware that a truly wise person will treat everything that way. It's joyful when that happens. First things first is the only place you can be.
Yeah, but first things first, have you ever heard the phrase, first up, be first, you know, you're the first one? Any of those phrases, anything come to mind?
I've been all of those, but so has everybody else.
We've all been first in our own awareness of a self.
That's right. We've all been first.
Congratulations, fellow humans who are self-aware. Talk about first things first. Going back to this thing about don't put any other gods before me. The God that I worship, I join with, I allow to, like I had anything to do with it. Well, I guess I get a choice. I could resist love. You know, a lot of people do. A lot of people have animosity. First things first, in terms of what's going on with the world, is you have to recognize the decay. With that, I'd like to invite Senator Beauregard to step in. We haven't talked since the election. Glad to have you here. Good evening, Errol and Rochelle.
Good evening, Senator.
It has been a while, but I have been paying close attention, of course, since we have this new president-elect and all the rigmarole that may be hanging on, trailing after his businessman butt. But let me just say this. I have said this before, just a reminder, in spite of all that's coming down, and I can see why you're nervous, Errol. I have to admit, I have some nervous, too. That's why I thank you, Rochelle, for reminding us of the resiliency of the human spirit. When push comes to shove, they switch places most of the time. Shove will go instead of push, and push will go behind shove. First things first.
Beauregard, I can't believe you said that.
Well, I try to keep abreast on the constituency and what they're thinking about. But again, if I had to say what's the first thing first, I would go for the wholeness. That is the first goal of the mission of these here United States, is in order to form a more perfect union. So I would go for unity as the first things first. But before you get to that, you've got to get to another first thing before you can get to the first thing that you just left behind, because it wasn't the first thing first. And that is this thing about the decay. You get to get people to take a look at who they are and what they're doing and get them ready for this rude awakening that if they want change, they're going to have to change. And even more, if they want good to happen, they all need to believe in the power of good. That's where you start them off.
That is the first thing that I would think of. I do feel sometimes like a Pollyanna in the sense that I really do believe that when something chaotic happens, when something shakes up our system, oh, wait a second, I don't want that, I don't like that. We move into a state of creativity that's very high, and we begin to formulate for ourselves ways to survive. If we're very creative, it's even more not just us surviving, but our children surviving and our children's children surviving. We get creative with the way we're going to survive because the way we've survived in the past has led to this mess. So we're going to find another way to survive that will be out of that mess.
Well, indubitably create another mess.
Perhaps.
And then there's the unexpected miracle. They were talking, Noam Chomsky and Ralph Nader, I don't remember who related this story, I think it was Noam Chomsky, that there were two nuclear almost incidents. One happened with the American, the other with the Russian, where the message came through that they need to launch the thing because it was happening. And this happened, and neither of them, they were like majors or one was a captain who was in charge of that thing, and he refused to do it. And he, matter of fact, sent someone over to another place where they were running, and he didn't do it. And they have his name and who he was and all about him. And then there was an American major who was thrust into the same situation, and he chose not to do it. Either of these men, had they not made that decision, could have launched it.
So they were aware of the consequences of that decision.
But that took some courage because their
order
was...
It took a lot of courage. They could have been shot, and somebody else would have launched the thing. Bravery is something that people don't even know they have until they're faced with things. All of a sudden, we become brave. We also become cowards. So it doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. It matters a lot. Take a stand. Take a stand for the best in us. Take a stand for the best that we can do. I mean, to me, that is the first thing that we need to realize, is that we are not impotent. We're not imprisoned by other people. We have power. That's the first thing that we have to realize, is that we do, and that is the change that maybe they're talking about.
First things first. Ralph Nader pointed out that the most powerful part of the government is this thing called the Congress, which consists of 535 individuals. Let us put our attention on that. It's just 535 people. That's a very small amount, as he points out, compared to the millions of us who want things differently, who want health first, speaking of first things first, health first. Remember that, Rabbi? Oh, yeah, people in my family, they were always saying, oh, as long as you got your health. That's the first thing. Every Jew knows that, especially old Jews. They say, oh, as long as you got your health. That is the first thing among all the first that had ever been before, is you realize your health. Because if you don't have your health, you know, what do you got? You got nothing. The first things first is to take care of yourself. That's why it's so important for people to put their money and their priority in there, not in more weapons. Oh, that is crazy. But if people don't care, don't step up, like you say, stand out and make a statement, take a stand. They should stand and get a box that used to be used for soap and put one of those boxes and talk to people and tell them, smell it. The system, if you can't see it or understand it, smell it. It smells a lot of places. It's a very stinky place, a lot of places on the earth.
First things first, like you said, you have to deal with what's going on inside you. I just don't think you can make permanent changes if we don't change ourselves. So if we want a peaceful world, we have to be peaceful. If we want a loving world, we have to be loving. What we want is what we have to become. And the only way we can become it is to work at it. Like everything else. I work out with weights every day so I can lift my grandchild, who is now more than half my size. I realize that if I don't do that, I won't have that strength. So you work that muscle, and there's the love muscle, and there's the courage muscle. Work these two. So first things first is to get yourself into the best shape possible to deal with whatever's going to come, or whatever is coming, or whatever is here.
But first things first. That was Stephen Stills singing. Guess what the name of the song was?
Let me see now. First things first.
Another winner tonight. First things first. Let me just share his lyrics. Again, they're very right on. It's good to hear these lyrics. First things first, he goes on. When you can quit living in the past, when you stop worrying about tomorrow, then I think you just might last. And I know the price of freedom getting more than a little high. In these angry days of sorrow, we find the meaning of a lie. So I sing about first things first. Remember everything you pass when it's time to go on back. Remember to put the first things first. So I sing about that. Again, it's paying attention to what's wanting to show up in your life. To greet it like, oh, you're the first. I believe that this is what Yeshua is referring to, as was Buddha, who talked about a beginner's mind, and Yeshua, who talks about becoming as a child. And that is, in fact, one of the three practices that he has given us that I use daily, which is to approach everything with innocence, like a toddler. This is the first time you've ever seen it. In the rush of progressive familiarity, not to take any of it for granted. First things first.
Interesting. As a trained actor or the professional actress, what I've done so often in my life is I've had to say lines that I've said before again and again and again. The thing you must always know is that whenever you say them, you've never said them before. You approach them as if you've never said them before. This is the first time I'm saying this. Whether I memorized it forever and said it a million times, each time I say it, it's the first time I've ever said it. That's what makes new and exciting and joyful and vibrant and interesting. And first things first.
Before you get to that, you got to get the part.
Yes, of course. I had a drama teacher once. He said, do whatever you can to get the part. After you get the part, you can really use your technique. Dress the part, go in, be outrageous, whatever, so they don't forget who you are.
Exactly.
It's a whole other story and a whole other show.
Speaking of not forgetting who you are, this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in Los Gatos, California. As this new year approaches, and we've got a new phenomenon apparently going to be our leader in this country, a lot of us are nervous about that. And then there's the part that I was reminded by you and Krishnamurti put you in the same category.
I love you.
And you were first, by the way, because I knew first shall be first. Anyway, how to approach it from a place of union and at one-ment, which is our authentic place to be and to exist in that present now. We are that ongoingness, totally driven through and by love. And that's the reality that we are recognizing and choosing, albeit we are beginners and stumbling like our little toddler grandchild. But she doesn't fall on her butt near as much as she used to. So
she's pretty good on her little feet, and she runs around a lot, too.
She does run. She doesn't just walk to the next new thing.
No, she moves quickly.
Let's get there soon. It might be gone. Then if you're like me, though, you get there and you go, what was I here for? I know I came to this side of the room for something. Let me think.
She's new. You're old. That's the difference right there. I think when I'm thinking of first things first and you put out those excuses that people have, I'm very observant of people. This is my actor's training. You watch people and you watch their little idiosyncrasies and you watch the way they do things, and each person is unique in their idiosyncrasies. If you have to play a person like that, you take on their idiosyncrasies, and that is the external force of the character. There's a guard that's in front of the bank where I take a deposit in every day for the company that I work for. He rarely ever smiles, just stands there. He wears warm clothes if it's very cold, and he wears cool clothes if it's hot. Anyway, the gist of this is that I decided I didn't care if he's a statue and he's not supposed to talk to anybody. I'm going to talk to him. So today I walked out of the bank, and this was a first. And I looked at him and I said, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and I hope you're going to have a wonderful new year. And I did it with great aplomb. My hands went up, and I almost embraced him. Well, his body language was like, hide, and then look at me, and hide, and look at me. He wanted to take it in. I think he thought his position wouldn't allow it. So we had this very funny physical relationship, and it was a first. It had never happened before. But when I was walking away, I turned around, and he had a smile on his face. So that was really special. I challenge everybody to do something that is a first that can make a difference, can make somebody happy, including yourself. Do something that's the first thing you've ever done that is joyful. I bet you'd have a good time.
You talked about putting a smile on your face, and I was in Walmart. You can buy smiles, different kinds of smiles that you can put on your face. You can get quirky smiles or crooked smiles. You can get smiles with all your teeth or smiles with not all your teeth. You can pick which tooth you want to be missing in your smile. We've got just a load of smiles, and I think we're getting some more in for after the new year. These are smiles that are designed to deal with frowns and worry lines that may be wanting to dominate. These smiles will cover up those frowns and worry lines.
Errol will always be silly. That's the first thing he'll always go there.
All right, this is the first thing first. I'm going to share something that I've written. Speaking of first things first, it's about what I'm responsible for. I am responsible for myself, for the way I think, the decisions I make, for the aftermath of my lusts, and the consequences of my desires. I am responsible for my feelings, for the glad and the sad and the mad, for the hurt and the guilt and the joy, for the down and the up and the blasé and the many little states I make that harass my soul and tickle my fancy, and for what I do with my fear. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for the sounds in my head and how I interpret them, for giving voice for my convictions, and erecting boundaries, and for saluting my own authority in spite of how the world is bowing down. I am responsible for my fulfillment, for the dance I make as I wander through choice land, for making the most of wrong turns and misinterpretations. Oops, that was a bummer. For finding the new road when life appears opaque. I am responsible for each moment, for making sure it is lived, whether foolish or depressed, at least to know that I have been fully there. To cast off regret and to stare the future gratefully in the face. I am responsible for the people I pick up, for how I see them and for the way I hold them in my heart, for making the meanings out of the memories that we share. I'm responsible for my stories, for seeing life as an unfolding, never-ending tale. I'll just cut to the last stanza. I am responsible for my part of creation, to see how it fits with the rest, for enjoining my brothers and engaging my sisters, so that together we can take responsibility for our world, the way it evolves, the mystery it evokes, and the beauty that emerges in the ways we can meet and the wake we leave behind as we pass through responsibility, the gift, the opportunity life bequeaths us to help us become who we are.
First things first. That's pretty good.
Thanks for listening. Let's take a minute to reflect on that and enjoy this little journey. Speaking of the first, we haven't quite escaped Christmas season yet. This is a particular first, so it's a good one. This is a 7-year-old girl.
To search and poor shepherds in fields they lay, in fields where they lay, tending their sheep. On a cold winter's night that was so deep, no
R-H-E-M-A, Marvan, M-A-R-V-A-N-N-E, reminding us of the first Noel. What is the first Noel, actually, Rochelle? What's a Noel? Have you seen any Noels? Are they four-legged or two-legged?
I haven't met any Noels recently.
Uh-huh.
I might have met them at a point where I was not as conscious of Noels as I am today, so maybe I did meet them. I just wasn't aware that I was meeting Noels. First things first, what is a Noel?
Noel is the French word for Christmas.
Oh, French, huh?
Yeah. So for me, it is like Noel, and I would...
First things first. You don't know what country you're from.
I had a moment there where my German guy, yeah, forced me. I was trying to break into the conversation, but I was talking to the French guy. Mais oui, I know he was talking to me, and you come into the conversation. Well, aren't I had something important to say, but yeah, und it's not debate. Très bien, because Noël is the time
the for... The many voices of Errol Strider.
...for rejoicing and becoming like celebrating life, beginning of life. It is very... Très bien. Everyone should have the opportunity to have a Noël, especially if you like Christmas, you will love Noël.
This may not be pertinent to tonight, but I have to share it because I thought it was so funny. We were listening to NPR and... They were talking about a jazz group that had been discovered by David Bowie. They were talking to the jazz group, and he worked with them. And they said David Bowie was amazing because he could just fit in wherever he was. He was unassuming. In fact, there was a waitress who waited on him then came back and told somebody that she just waited on a guy, an older guy that looked just like an older David Bowie.
You totally messed that up.
You know, I did.
I know. I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, this is not going well, this joke. Not that it was a joke. If I can try to be accurate, there's a guy out there who looks like an older version of David Bowie.
That's right, exactly. I found that so funny. So that's a first, that somebody would think that this older version of David Bowie wasn't David Bowie.
Speaking of first and first things first, let me ask you, O ye listener, what's first on your priority list for 2017? If you don't have a strong candidate, I would like to recommend that you put at least right near the top of your priority list to get involved in the healing of the illness that our planet is suffering, largely because of certain narrow forces that have taken over this country. But as he points out, Ralph Nader, in 17 Solutions, it doesn't take much to turn it around. And we're only talking 535 people. And one thing they all have in common, they all want to get reelected, or most of them.
God. That's it? That's the only thing they have in common?
No.
I mean, I'd like to believe, and here I am again being Pollyanna. First things first, somebody going into public office cares about the country they live in and wants to make a difference, wants to make it better, wants to make it more expansive, wants to help it in some way. I would think that's why someone goes into public office. And if you didn't pay people and it was a voluntary thing, I think they would probably be more altruistic.
But here's the problem. Every one of these people spends a significant portion of their time, hours and hours each week, raising money. That's what it's become. I've heard, I don't know, quarter of their time, third of their time, raising money. So think about what we've fallen into when the people who govern us can't govern us because they believe they have to raise money. It's like a rat on a maze.
You've been reading so much about the early days of this country and the beginning of the Constitution and everything. Were these people paid, all these people who came forward to write the Constitution, to create this United States of America?
They got a commission.
I'm serious. Did it ever say anything about anybody pay them, or they just volunteered?
I don't know that they got paid, but I would guess that they're state legislatures who picked and sent them to this convention. Boy, they had to pay the price. I don't know if you know this or not, but they closed that building, which is still there, so that, A, no one would hear it. They wanted it to be secret because they didn't want to have to deal with the newspaper and the press and how other people were taking it. And the street noise was driving them nuts. It was like 100 degrees.
This is in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and they're wearing these wool things with vests, and the smell, the sweat must have been profuse. First things first, sweat.
I wouldn't know that first things first was sweat, but okay. Thank God you sweat. You'd be dead if you didn't.
Sweating is good. That's why I sweat every night. I don't know if I've shared this publicly, but I have a little sauna, and if you came to see me while I was sweating, you would see a head, older head, sticking out of a little tent-like box. And you would see sweat
pouring down his head.
Not so much this time of year, because it's cold here in Northern California.
Yeah, this is interesting because it's been very cold here, and I don't know what it's like in places where you're listening, but when you're used to warm weather and it goes to 41 degrees, you feel like you're freezing. When you realize that places are 22 degrees and 16 degrees, that's really cold. But we're very spoiled, so when it is 41 degrees here, we're all running around in seven layers of clothing. And that's a first, that you can't, even in a place where clothing is optional, you can't be unclothed.
But it teaches patience. Speaking of teachers, here's a proposal among many that I've come across, because I've made a point to look for solutions. That's why I jumped on this book, and I jumped on Naomi Wolf's book, Give Me Liberty. She's got practical things. I've got them. I found a whole bunch in a book called Serving Humanity. Matter of fact, I've torn out the pages so that I can send you all if you want a copy of it. Great strategies. We just need the will. We need to harness the will and, like Course says, strengthen the motivation to change. How much do we care about the change that we want to see? If we could put that level of passion towards changing ourselves, towards what? Away from acting out as if the universe was somehow against me, and I either need to get it or I need to fear it. Change that. Letting go of the getting, letting go of the fear. And there's help on the inside. But you've got to make the choice. You've got to make that the first things first. I will be integrated, whole, sane, and at one with the fundamental movement and glory, by the way, of existence. Notwithstanding its evolutionary precariousness. So there. Now, Professor, you can jump in.
Oh, good. I was hoping you would let me be able to make a remark, but now you've said that, I wouldn't think it was so much that point of view, but if they could just stop and think and be grateful for the being that they are and know that everything in the universe is conspiring to perpetuate that being. They just have to go with it. Go with the flow. That's what I like to say. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you. The same to you, Professor.
What does it mean to go with the flow? I feel like I want to do like Harvey Milk when he was running for office. He got up in front of those crowds in San Francisco and he said, "My name is Harvey Milk and I'm here to enroll you."
Is that what you feel like you're doing at this point in your life, enrolling people?
Yes, that's the first thing first.
Is that the first thing first for you?
I'm thinking. Is that the first thing first, or is that the second thing first, and the first thing that was originally first is now...
And what are you enrolling them in?
Third. In this, we have to step up and take charge of our world.
I hate to be a Budinsky. There's a lot of people on this planet who are disenfranchised, who can't step up because they're really enslaved. What I see in our country is that we're enslaved. We're enslaved by consumerism. The very thought that somebody would lose a job lends to terror. What are you going to do? How are you going to eat? How are you going to live? How are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to be homeless? And we have this huge amount of homeless population in our country, the richest country, which is totally ludicrous. We don't even look at that. We don't even see compassion for human beings, where it begins, that we see each other as we would want to be treated by ourselves, that we don't stand and create this huge separation. That separation between you and I even leads to conflict. The minute we create it, the minute I want union with you, that's what I long for, is to come into union with you. Not say you come to me and we can have union, but we have to sit down and find places where we agree. That's the way it begins. Where do we have agreement?
It's usually about your hair.
Oh, come on.
We both agree when it's not so good, and we both agree it's a good hair day.
Your hair too.
If you have to start somewhere as a couple, find your alignment. Find some part of your body that you both can go, "Well, I like that part. Well, I like it too, on you." Before we get out of here, because we've got to close here in a couple of minutes, I would like to recommend this in terms of maybe a first thing to do. We have this thing that goes up about the greedy 1% of the 10%, and it's like this image. If I say the 1%, right? An image immediately comes to your mind of this thing and its greed, and greed is painted all over it. This is what I would recommend, and I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to drop into the greed. I allow myself to just know it and become intimate with it and feel it. because I know it's in me. I don't think there's any difference between any of us. We all have the inclination to greed.
One more wire.
I beg your pardon?
That was an in-joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She's referring to the number of electrical wires that I have. It's not greed. It's always a practical reason.
Right.
I don't collect them just because I want to have them.
Yes, you do.
But first things first. Before I do that, I have to justify it to myself, you see. Because basically I want to greed up everything all over the world. But I have this voice that says, yeah, but if you don't need it, you know. And it's this voice back in there. You have to justify it. If you justify it, then you could greed it. You greed it, but you've justified it. It's a double thing. So what we can do as a culture is to take the justifying off the greediness and put the justice back on it. Because right now, there's no justice in it.
Errol speaks of these things so glibly, but they're not easy to do because we haven't been brought up to do these things. We've been brought up to get what we can get as fast as we can get it and not think about anybody who stands in our way.
And that's why the first things first is strengthening the motivation to change.
Yes.
So what will it take, O ye listener? What change will it take, any of us, to become maximally whole and congruent so that we have all our personal power available to us to affect whatever change we are called to address?
Amen.
That was an amen. I love that. Who I am loving that is Errol Strider. This is my spouse, Rochelle Strider, of the Strider Arrangement.
Help me, Father.
I have to say,
or I've lost my mind.
Life in my tent has been very chilly. Most of the time, I can handle the tent. But when it gets down to 40, there's not a lot of insulation in a tent, I noticed.
It was so cold here that someone went to one of the outdoor bathrooms and discovered that the water in the toilet was frozen.
You think that was bad? And they sat down, and they didn't get out till the next morning when they defrosted.
Well, that wasn't true, but the truth was that the water was frozen. There it is.
That's the first thing, as I said way back at the beginning when we first started, that you have to know what's first when you go after first things first. For the first thing is really having some kind of idea what first is going to be like. So when you see the first thing, you'll know, oh, that's the first thing of all the first things that I was going to see.
You can't see me rolling my eyes, but I am.
She is rolling her eyes. You know what? I think we should roll ourselves out of here. It has been a wonderful year. Rochelle, thank you for this last year. It's been amazing. There are just a few more things about you that we'll want to work on and fix for next year.
Oh, help me.
But you did so well this year. We were just so proud of the changes you made to satisfy our image of what you should be like.
Now, just remember, if you're listening to this, it's bogus.
Bogus. She always says that to all her husbands. Okay, Errol Strider, Inside Out, The Naked Truth. You can reach me if you want some of this material I've been discovering and want to be in dialogue with me, estrider@gmail.com. And that comes as a bonus with a .com. What do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Yeah, but first things first. Ha, 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 ha.